Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you don't have him in your life today as your Lord and Savior, there's a good news that this is your new day to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because what it has accomplished back on the cross 2,000 plus years back is the power and the evidence of what we have today in our lives as Christians. Remember, the resurrection is the key to our faith as Christians. The resurrection of Jesus is the very basis of the church's witness to the world. We can go out and say, he is not there, he is gone, he is raised. We will, in the weeks coming up, we're going to share the times of viewing and seeing Jesus as he walked upon this earth. We think that the story ends at the resurrection and the tomb is empty and we, oh, he's gone. No. As you would come back the next several weeks, you're going to find out that he was upon this earth 40 days, showing himself to his disciples and those around him. He wasn't just showing himself to the 12 or 13 people. We'll find out that he was showing himself to people of the hundreds, 500 at a time. People saw him as Jesus. This is the one that they crucified, and now he's with us? And then after that, this is the exciting time of the church. This is an exciting time for a Christian because after the 40 days, then he ascends, amen, into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father where he said he would go. And then about 10 days after that, we get into the book of Acts and we find out the power really came about, amen. Pentecost Sunday. I encourage you to come back. So count your calendar out, like say 50 days from today. Come back at least. And let's rejoice with the Pentecost power, the release of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage, maybe we can look around at that time and see cloves of tongue upon each and everybody's heads here, you know. Maybe we'll have a mighty rushing wind come through like that. The sound like that of a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. But today we're looking at, before that all comes about, that the tomb is empty. Now Jesus is, he's up and about. This is the very basis of our witness to the world as that of a church. Today there is still a great stir about the resurrection, don't you agree? This morning, even you that are here, or those that may listen by chance on this web link thing on the website, and I don't understand how all that works, but they can listen to this on the web. You have two choices to make. Believe that the tomb once held the body of Jesus empty, and that Jesus rose from the dead as he stated he would, or you continue to deny it and you try to explain it away. Those that try to explain it away, you're wasting your life away. You're slip-sliding away. Slip-sliding away. Because you're trying to explain something that you don't understand. You're trying to explain and try to figure out, well, if it doesn't make sense, it can't happen. Well, here again, the things of the cross are foolishness to those that are perishing. So it's okay when people look at you and they say, you really believe that story? Yes, I believe that story because it's true. Has anybody found that body in the tomb? No. Has archaeologists tried to find it? Yes. And they come away perplexed. They come away at times finding that there's more proof that he is alive than he is dead. Could you imagine that when they're sitting around their tables at lunch or dinner after they've done that? It's like, what did you find? Anything that we can refute this thing about him being? No, I didn't find nothing. Every place I looked was empty. Oh, great. This could really be true. Well, I could save them a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money, and probably save some time, years off of their lives, wasting away, trying to figure this thing out and trying to prove something that truly did happen, but it's by faith, and by we receive him by faith. Everything we do on our Christian walk is by what? Faith. And the reason why we can do that is because so much or everything in this Bible is years or thousands and thousands of years prophecies, and then all of a sudden thousands and thousands of years later it happens. There is no one, mere man alive, that can ever predict something that's going to happen. I cannot even predict something that's going to happen 3 days from now. But yet the Word of God tells us so many things about the prophecies of his birth, the prophecies of the cross, the prophecies of the tomb, the prophecies of he is coming back again. Hallelujah. Well, we're in the here and now. You know, yes, he says he will return. And I believe that with all my heart, that there's going to be a day that Jesus will return. The sound of the trumpet. Come out of the clouds. But you know what? If I'm still here when he comes, hallelujah. If I'm not here, I'm going to be going home, because remember he said he went to prepare a place for those that believe in him, and I've got a place there, as we all will if we are here today. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. When you die, your body goes into the ground, but your spirit lives on, and it goes to heaven, and it's at a place where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. You've got to understand, you're just passing through this life. This life ain't got nothing for you. You come, you're born, you live, pay taxes, then you die. You accumulate a lot of stuff, and guess what? It stays here when you go on. We beat our brains out, we spend and take most of the better time of our lives trying to accumulate things and build things and all these things, and it don't go with you. If we would spend as much time, or at least half of the time, building our relationship with Jesus Christ, receiving more of him, allowing him to change our lives into what he wants us, from glory to glory to glory, we will have a much better life here. But so many of us beat our brains out, our bodies out, just do, go, do this, that, I got to get, I got to accumulate, I got to build, I got to do this. But when that time comes, the funerals that I have done and the times I've looked into the caskets, I have never seen anything in there except the body of that person, and really that person's no longer there. They're in a much better place. They're probably weeping. You know, we go to the casket and we're weeping because this person's gone. They're probably weeping because they're like, oh, you poor people down there looking in that box. If you could only see me now, you know. But there's two choices to make. Either you believe the tomb is empty, that Jesus rose from the grave, or you believe he's still buried somewhere and somebody stole his body. We find in Luke chapter 24, verse 7, Jesus previously had told his followers, we'll kind of get into this, but this is part of that, and Julie, I think, shared a little bit about this too, but it says this, that Jesus even says this to his followers. He says, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Now, some of us would put a period there. Oh. But then he goes on and says, but on the third day, rise again. Be delivered into the hands, be crucified, but I'm going to rise again on that third day. And that's what we're celebrating today, the resurrection. Amen? That empty tomb. So I'm going to look at Matthew 28. If you want to turn there, feel free to. Just Matthew 28, just briefly. We've got a few things we want to touch upon. Matthew 28, it says this. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. 28:3, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, which he does and did. There will see him, there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring the disciples this word. They ran from the tomb with fear, but with great joy. Hallelujah. One thing about my Lord is he's a Lord that joy. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Why do they have joy? Well, on one thing, they're fearful, like, oh boy, what's going to happen? But the other thing, they had joy because they'd just been told, well, remember what he had said. He was going to rise in 3 days. He's not here. He lives. Go tell the disciples. Mary Magdalene, as we read in this story here, she was the one that Jesus delivered of the seven demons. And then if we go into Mark, you'll find out there it lists another Mary, mother of James, and then you'll also find that list in Mark 16, 1 as well, and they begin to talk about Joanna, one of Jesus' female followers in Galilee. She had witnessed the crucifixion and went to the tomb on Sunday. Now, as we look at this, and we see in Matthew 28, notice how it says the stone was rolled away. Was that stone rolled away so that Jesus could get out? No, the stone was rolled away so those on the outside could peer in and see, oh, it's empty. That was the evidence. That's the only way. How would they know if the stone was still there? And somebody would say, well, he's gone. Well, how do I know? The stone was rolled away. The earthquake came. You know, that all developed so that people could see that tomb is empty. It was for their benefit. It wasn't to help him get out. He was already out. You kind of, just as you think of this, and you think about the earthquake reported here, and then you think about back when he was on the cross, there was another earthquake, wasn't there? When he said, it is finished, and darkness came, and all the things happened, and then there was an earth was shaking, and it talked about graves were opened up, and those that were dead rose in life again, even at his hanging on the cross. Now, to me, I don't know whatever happened after that. What did the story go to from that? What happened to all those that were once dead? Now they're walking around Jerusalem and all. It's like, hey, weren't you at, you know, plot number 13? You know, where are you from now? Interesting, the earthquake. Get your attention. How many here have experienced an earthquake? An earth tremor, the ground shakes. I tell you, I imagine we probably all have one time or another. Most of us in here are fairly of maturity. That's another way of saying we're old. We've been around for a while. But have you ever sat there or stood there and all of a sudden the ground starts shaking and you're standing there? It's like, this is the weirdest feeling. You know, I've been through a few and down around the St. Louis area. I remember one time there was one like that and in the house and things were clattering and shaking and the glassware and all that. And it, you know, you probably should run out, you know, because when they say there's a tornado coming, we usually run out to look at the tornado, you know. When they say go hide, we're going out to look for it. Like, hey, here it comes, you know. The earthquake is shaking, and they probably say, get into a doorway in case something happens, or get outside. I'm thinking, well, you get outside, if the earth opens up and swallows you, then what's going to happen? I don't know. What are you going to do? But for the most part, sometimes you freeze. You know, it's shaking, and your normal thing, you're thinking like, what is going on? What's happening here? Everything's just rattling. Could you imagine that time of the quake when that stone was rolled back? Wow, my goodness. I want to go to Mark 16. Mark 16. I want to read just in one, start it there, Mark 16, 1, maybe through 6. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, or Joanna, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they said to themselves, who will roll away the stone from the tomb? Or who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was very large. And they entered the tomb, and they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. And again it says, go quickly. Go quickly. When I read that, this past few weeks just kind of looking and reading and rereading the story and the empty tomb and the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there's two areas that I stopped and just kind of soaked in a little bit, meditated on. And that one is what I want to speak a little bit more about, just a little bit about the new day. But this one here was, who will roll away the stone for us? How many here has a stone, maybe in front of your heart, that doesn't allow Jesus to come into your heart? Who will roll that stone away? It talks about in God's Word that He speaks of, He gives us a new heart, a transplant. He removes the what? Stony heart, and puts in one that's pliable and manageable and really full of life. So we'll touch upon that maybe in a little bit. But here again, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, they remembered the words that Jesus had spoken. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. I've already shared this, but in my spirit I felt this, that people have a very large stone or boulder hindering the message of today even from entering their heart. And that message today is a message that will raise their spirit from the dead and give them new life in Christ Jesus. Because, you know, if we just read the story as the story, oh, it's exciting. But if we just read it for a story as a story, like, well, okay, that's good. Now let's go find Easter eggs. Let's go have a chocolate bunny. We've not gained the value of what the message is about. The message is about that my Lord and Savior said that He would die on the cross, He would be in a tomb, that He would rise, He would sit at the right hand of God the Father, that He's there interceding for me. My Lord and God, Jesus said that I must go so that He, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, remember, 50 days out from now, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came into that time and just such a power that came into that upper room. Well, we don't have to wait for Pentecost on this day. You can get again, received, you know, the Holy Spirit in you, be, you know, baptized in the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you, your life will be different from today on. It'll be good. Now, there'll be some bad times in your life. You'll still go through problems and trials and stress and situations, but you'll have the power within you to help get through those things. And if nothing else, it's like, turn it over to Him. Amen. Turn over those cares. Roll your cares to Him. Kind of like rolling that stone. Amen. Just roll it over to Jesus. Say, here, this is what I'm dealing with today. I can't handle it. I'm rolling it on. Cast. That's what it says in His Word. It says, cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Cast your care is like taking that care, that burden, that weight, and rolling it over. How many here have weights that you're carrying around even today? I do. Even myself, there's times that I've got to say, enough is enough, Tim. You need to roll it over to Him. Why are you dealing with this stuff all the time? Why do you think you can do it? If I try and I can't accomplish it and it still is gnawing at me, I need to surrender it and turn it over to Him. Boom, right then. And those times that I've done that, then it's almost like I can go away with joy. I feel a release. I feel a pressure has been taken away from me. If nothing else, I've turned it over to somebody that cares. Somebody that's there. Somebody that'll be with me till the end. Amen? We roll a lot of cares onto people in our lives, humans, people that we think has our best interest at heart. And many of them do, but there's a lot that don't. You can roll your care on them. They'll help you. They'll help you until it's too much of a fight for them, and then they'll turn it over and say, oh, forget it. You're on your own. My Lord and Jesus, once I roll it onto Him, it's not too difficult for Him. Amen? Because He can handle it. My gosh. Look what He accomplished. Nothing is too difficult for Him. So I want to encourage you to allow that earthquake to take place in your life today if it needs to open up that passageway into your heart so that Jesus can come in. because this is what this is all about. It's not just an Easter message and we go out and have ham and yams and, you know, bread and rolls and get together as a family and celebrate. No, this is a very important part of the story and the life of Jesus Christ. Remember I said I liked a translation that used this particular verse. It's in Matthew 28:1, and it's the New Living. When I read this one time a few weeks back in one of my times going through my phone, thank you, Dan, and different Bible things I've got on there, and then reading this and reading that, I thought, boy, I came across this. Early on Sunday morning as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. When I read that and I saw that, a new day, right here in my spirit, folks, it hit me that it's like we have a new day today. Those that don't have Christ in their heart and they receive Him on Wednesday of this week, they've got a new day. Whenever He comes into your life, you've got a new day. Everybody say a new day. You want a new day? Amen. We all need new days. We need to get to the point where we're tired of being tired. We're tired of being down. We're tired of losing what the Lord has given us. Fighting battles that really aren't His, ours, they're not ours. Let Him fight your battles for you. Amen. I'm sure at times God sits up there and shakes His head as, why are these people so stubborn that they don't receive the trueness of the simplicity of My Word, that I sent Jesus Christ to die for them, to hang on the cross, the blood of Jesus cleanses your sins, makes you white as snow. I'm not going to remember your sins. The devil will say, you can't come to Him because you're such a sinner. Oh no, you say the devil, you're a liar. Because His Word says, He will bury it in the deepest seas. He will take my sins as far as the east is from the west. God is trying to give us all the insights to say, I love you. I want you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I sent Him to reconcile you back to Me. To bring that spirit within you alive because of the sin that separates us, that developed way, way back, even before we were a twinkle in our mother and dad's eyes. A new day was dawning. Your new day could be today. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss out on what God has for you. I look even in this room today, and I wonder, in myself, if I were looking, I'd be looking at myself. I would be saying, I wonder what I have missed out on from God because of my stubbornness. Because of my, I'm too busy right now. Check back with me later. Well, I don't think you can help me with this, God. And it could be some of those things you say, well, I got myself in this mess. I have to get myself out of this mess. That's the perfect time to invite God into your mess, to lift you up out of that mess. It's great to take ownership of it and say, I got myself here, but I need help to get out. Because God says, I'll do that for you. It's very simple. Why struggle? Why struggle? Why struggle? So the enemy of this world, the God of this world, wants to keep us down. He wants us to turn every major occasion that was that of something from the Lord into some kind of a party or something that's earthly or something that's material, so that we really forget or lose sight of the actuality of what this is all about. And even today, the notice of the sign. When you pulled it out here, did anybody notice what the sign said out in front of the church? Top line says, Easter. Second line, eggs are hidden. Third line, Jesus was found. Now, it's okay to have an Easter egg hunt and kids and families and all of that. Nothing to take away from that. But it's to realize that what we're celebrating is that Jesus was found alive. And he wasn't hiding. He's out and about. After being out of the tomb, he was walking. He met those guys on the road to Emmaus. He went to Galilee. He went to the upper room. He wasn't hiding. He was out showing himself like, here I am. I told you what I was going to do. Why do you find it so surprising? Even on the cross, when the things happen, and the lightning, and the lights, and the shudder, and the quake, and all the curtain, and all these things happen, and even the guard said, oh my, he must have been the Christ. He must have been the Son of God. He must have been more powerful than we thought. If they had only known who they had in their midst for those few hours of mocking and spitting and scourging and hitting. Wow. But even with all of that, Jesus said what on the cross? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Their minds are seared. Their hearts are hardened. They've got that stony heart. They've been frenzied into a mob. They don't understand what this is all about, but that's okay. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to do what I was sent to do. Because there's much more that I'm going to do. Isn't that exciting? There's much more that he's going to do. Hallelujah! Much more that he's doing in my life. Yeah, that's great. I've got him as my Lord and Savior. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I'm so thankful that my Lord and Savior is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for who? Me. Interceding for who? You. As you have him in your heart, as you have him in your life, as you've confessed him as your Lord, turn your life over to him, begin your life changing, powerful things begin to take place. Remember, I said this is your new day. A new day is dawning for you. You might ask yourself, what situation? Well, first of all, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, the first thing you need to do is enter into this new day is to receive him as your Savior. Not a class to join. I don't have a class for you to join. I don't have a paper for you to fill out. I don't need to know your Social Security number. You know, I don't need to know any of that. All I need to say is all you need to do is confess your sins before him, ask him into your heart, surrender yourselves over to him, and say, come into me, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Sometimes we in churches, and I've shared them on this before, we try to go into services and we try to have altar calls and we say, repeat after me, and that pastor will be up there and they will say some kind of a long, drawn-out, three-minute dissertation of coming to the cross. Coming to where Jesus has come into your heart, and I hear going there, confess after me, say after me, say this, follow me, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Then you hear that, and then it's all about the same thing. And I guess that's okay for sometimes. But I'm looking at the point, ladies and gentlemen, to where I believe you can just speak it and say it and believe it. It's done. Nowhere in his word does he say, you've got to do this, 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 and then we'll allow you in. How do we know that? Because when he's hanging on the cross, the mere criminal next to him says, oh, you are the Christ. Remember me when you come into your paradise. And he says, this day you will be with me. So man has put a lot of things and formulas into this because man wants to get involved in making things that are simple difficult. Buy something, look at the instructions. You know, I would rather look at the picture than try to read instructions that are that many, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. The message of the cross, the message of the empty tomb is simple. He was alive, he hung on the cross, he died, he was put in a tomb dead. 3 days later, he rose, and the tomb is empty. Done. You either believe it or you don't. You either take it by faith or you try to find ways to discount it. and allow your life to slip sliding away, trying to dispute something that is totally, you're not going to be able to do it. Now we can come up with all kinds of, what about this? What about that? What about this? It's supposed to be this, supposed to be that, blah, blah, blah. Why does this verse, why does this chapter only have Mary Magdalene? Why does Mark have two and plus another? Why does Luke only have this? Why do they talk about this? Why do they do this? Why is there differences in all the Gospels that are sharing the similar same story? When I get through all of those, yeah, this name might not be the same over here. This name might not have been put over here in this Gospel. But when I get to the end of the whole thing, you know what the same result is? The tomb was empty. All those things agree. Not one says, well, we think the tomb was empty, but it might not have been. Well, Mark says it was empty because they got proof of that. Luke says, well, I don't know if I was looking at the wrong tomb or the right tomb or whatever, but I think it might be possibly empty. No, the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. A new day was on the horizon. Amen. Keep that in your mind today, folks. A new day for you today. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Remember I said, what situation is this new day in my life about? First of all, be in receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Oh, okay, well, I've done that. Now what? Have you surrendered your life to Him? There's one thing to say the sinner's prayer. There's one thing to say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my sins and cleanse me, and I'm now, you know, with you, Lord. And then you go on and you live without really changing or without really allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. And we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we have frustrations. And here again, guys, I'm with you. If I was sitting out there, I would say, Tim, do you have frustrations in your life because you truly haven't surrendered all your life over to Him? And I would be Tim saying, you know what? I've had some frustrations in my life the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case is, or whatever the case is. It's a thing to where we all have to take a personal look at where is the Lord in your life. I've said the prayer. I've asked for His forgiveness. Step one. Step two. Now, turn your life over to Him. And live for Him. And surrender these things over to Him. And don't give Him just a part of your life. Give Him all of your life. You know, we've heard these things. And maybe you've heard this too. It's like a person with a house, you know. It's like, well, I'll let Him be Lord of my life in my kitchen, my living room, and downstairs in the laundry room. But I'm going to keep the family room to myself, my bedroom to myself, my recreation room to myself. Those are off limits to Him. Well, then you've not surrendered all your life over to Him. It's a process. Do you agree? Please understand when I say these things that we have to surrender all over to Him. I'm going to tell you generally it's not going to happen instantly the first time you turn it all over to Him and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. There's going to be issues. There's going to be things in your life that come up. But don't give up. Don't give in. Those are the things that when the Holy Spirit shows those to you, turn them over to Him. Say, oh Lord, I've dealt with this now for umpteen years, or I need to get rid of this and I can't do it in my own power. But your word says where I am weak and I am weak in this area, you say you're strong, so you're strong in this area. I surrender it. I turn it over to you. I roll. I cast my problem over to you. Maybe sometimes some people like to stay in problems. There's some people I talk to in counseling or just trying to figure out their life and the situation they're going through. And it's like they're just going around the proverbial, just around and around and around. And it's like, well, you know, here's some things that I would ask you to think about, look over, and maybe consider getting them out of your life. Allowing Him to bring you into a holiness that is pleasing to God the Father. Is your life showing change? These are things to think about today, that the tomb is empty and the stone's been rolled away. He's come back to life. He's come back for you today. He's come back for your family members. He's come back for people in the future. He's come back. Until he comes, he's going to provide this to all generations. Amen? The resurrection power, the message of this cross, the power of the cross, the redeeming blood that was on the cross, the empty tomb, all of these things, as today, they will be for tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow after that until he returns. He will return. I just don't know when. Is your life showing change? I'm going to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Our redemption through Jesus gives us what? I love this in Ephesians 1. It says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1:3. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, there's a thing here that even before you were born, no matter how old you are, he already knew you. It tells us in the Old Testament that he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before the foundations of time, he already knew you, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. Then, here it is, Ephesians 1, 7. Some things here. Well, what is this? What do we got through this? Number one, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Everybody say grace. You believe you're a benefit of grace? I am. Secondly, it says in verse 11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That in him we also have obtained an inheritance. Oh! Anybody here know about an inheritance? You know, we know about it in the world times and man times, you know. Someone has to die for you to get an inheritance, don't they? You usually don't get your inheritance until that person goes on. Jesus died and we've got an inheritance. Also, it goes into verse 13. In him you are also trusted after you, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We have been redeemed through the blood, forgiveness of our sin. We have obtained an inheritance. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We give ourselves so frustrated because we want to hold on to some of our old ways and live part with Christ. And doing so, we just begin to set ourselves up for failure. We have got to get into a level and moving into, it's one thing to receive him as your Lord and Savior. It's another thing to surrender your life to him. When you begin to surrender your life to him, things begin to change. Gets rearranged. Some of the furniture that's no good gets thrown out. You get some new things put in. You've got to change. You've got to give him your fullness. As he gave you his fullness, he's expecting your fullness. 2 Corinthians. Okay, where are we at? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That word new is something that would be, it's unused, it's fresh. these things, let's see, how far do I want to go? Okay, going into 18. Now, all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he has made him who knew to be sin to be, let's see, for he has made, let me read this, for he in him, I got to take my glasses off. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for you, to reconcile you, to bring you back into right relationships with God the Father. In that same reconciliation that he has done for us, we need to help and help others be reconciled. That's part of the message too, is that you can receive reconciliation. You can receive all that God, ladies and gentlemen, is available to you. I have nothing special to Tim from the heavenly throne that is only pertaining to Tim. You can have it as well, as much as you want, when you want it, by just going out and asking for it. And turning your life over to him. And meaning that. I just want to encourage you today. It's a wonderful day to celebrate the empty tomb. But it's something much more grander to celebrate the empty tomb every day. To celebrate the resurrected life of Jesus Christ every day. For we could sing, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. As I reflect in closing on the life and the times of Jesus, as I've received him as my Lord, I find in his word, and this goes in John 20:24. In John 20:24, remember the tomb is empty. Mary and the other, they're running back and they're telling the disciples. They get into the upper room afterwards. The disciples are told that he is risen. Jesus actually comes in and comes through the wall or something, just appears. Shh, here I am. Oh, he's here. One of the disciples wasn't there. Who was that? Thomas. So the disciples are trying to tell Thomas, hey, listen, he rose. He's here. I've seen it. And Thomas. I always thought at one time giving Thomas a bad rap, but it's like all the disciples were in disbelief. They just got to see him. He just walked in, and here I am. Oh, Thomas hadn't been there. And so what we find in John 20:24, now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. He's talking about seeing and believing. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, well, this is Thomas saying, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. How many here today might be like that? I won't believe until I actually see that. Well, you ain't going to see that because he's ascended into heaven. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and he says, peace to you. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Today, do not be unbelieving, folks. Be believing. Amen. There's a lot of things out there trying to make you unbelieve. There's a lot of things out there trying to take you off course that God has for you. God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for your life today. Do you believe that? I don't care where you're at. I don't care what amount of money or no money you have. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you're going through. You have a predestined time with God, and God has you here for a plan and a purpose of His. Amen. Do not unbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Well, I believe. I would probably be right there. I'd be a Tom. I'd be with Tom. I believe, not Lord. But what does Jesus say in the closing here in verse 29? And Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." And this is what I love, because this is my Jesus talking to me. "Blessed, Tim, for you have not seen, but you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You have a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. You will serve either God, our Heavenly Father, or you will serve the god of this earth, which is that of Satan. You can't serve, you're serving somebody. Even if people say, "Well, I'm not serving the devil." Well, yeah, you are. We all do, unless we receive, because His Word says, choose this day who you will serve. It's either me or Him. No in between. This word says here, "Blessed are those who have seen and not blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed is this. It suggests happy, supremely blessed, a condition in which congratulations are in order. I like that. Supremely blessed. How many are blessed by that of God? Hallelujah. God is a blessing God, and thank you, Father God, for that. Hallelujah. So I encourage you today, where do you stand? Are you at that crossroad of, "Well, I haven't received Him as my Lord and Savior? I'd like to." If you would like to, all you have to do is ask Him into your heart right where you're at. Amen? You know? If you want that, I don't have any hocus-pocus words to say. I will just agree with you if that's what you need, if that's what you want. I would say, raise your hand and let's. Well, I'm not going to call you up here and say, "Stand before the people and look at this sinner, come to home by grace." You know, we just want to be part of that, of just lifting you up, say, "Lord, by the uplifted hands, Lord, they've asked for Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Forgive them of their sins." And I tell you what, we are all sinners saved by grace. Amen. "For he who says he has no sin makes God out to be a liar." We all have sin. We work through that day in and day out, even us as Christians. Even as we work through these things, it's a time of continuing cleaning and cleansing and confessing and turning things over. And as we receive that of the Holy Spirit is there to help us understand. Like, you know, I've got those times in my life now when I do something and I just feel a twist in my spirit. That's not God spanking me, but that's just the Holy Spirit saying, God doesn't find that pleasing. God doesn't find that uplifting to Him. God doesn't find that glorifying Him. And then I say, "Oh, forgive me, Father. Because I want to bring glory. I want to bring honor to You in the things I do, say, whatever it is." Where are you at today? Is this your new day? Is there a stone in front of your heart? Do we need to have an earthquake come and roll that stone back so that you can receive all that God has for you? Well, let's pray for an earthquake. Let's open that up. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service, I just ask you to touch the hearts of each and every one here. Speak into their spirit, Lord. Let each of us understand where we're at with you or where we're not with you at. I pray, Lord, that we would continually look at the areas in our lives that needs to change to bring honor and glory to you. I thank you, Lord, for coming and taking me out of where I've come from and the sin that I had, Lord, that you have forgiven me, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the blood of Christ that is cleansing and washing our sin. And Lord, that is the blood of today too, Lord. It's still powerful. The power of the blood. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. The tomb is empty. My Savior has risen. Not for joy, Lord, that he's there with you in the right hand. Oh, Father, I receive that. I believe that by faith. And so, Lord, touch the hearts of those here today. Those that may doubt. I would ask you, Lord, to move within their hearts and their lives as only you can and minister your love to them. Thank you, Father. You're a wonder-working God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.